From the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus went up the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. When day came, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he named apostles. Simon, whom he named Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called a zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today, St. Paul tells us in his letter to the Ephesians that our entire Christian existence is built upon the foundation of the apostles. We see what type of existence that is, that we're fellow citizens, not with the Romans, as precious as that would be at this time, fellow citizens of the saints, members of God's household, members of his family, in other words. And together with the apostles, we grow into a temple sacred to the Lord, being built up with them into a dwelling place of God in the Holy Spirit. This is our Christian existence, built on the foundation of the apostles. We proclaim in the Creed that we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. With regard to the apostolic sense, we should say that we know that the church is apostolic, because it is. It's got its spiritual genealogy from the apostles, but we don't say we know it as a fact. We believe in it because there's a dual sense in this apostolicity of the church. We believe in God working through these apostles. We also recognize that that apostolate that they have, that having been sent, continues to this present day, that when we're believing in the apostolic dimension of the church, we're not just talking about these foundation stones, but we're also talking about where we fit in, that we likewise continue their mission just as much as they have been sent, we have been sent. And let's delve a little bit more into the feast, built upon the foundation of Simon and Jude and the other saints. Today, the first thing we can ponder is the beauty of vocation and where it comes from, whether it's religious, married, priesthood. Jesus went up the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God, and when day came, he called. The vocation of St. Simon and Jude was born in the Lord's Prayer. Our vocation was born in the Lord's Prayer. And that prayer was not a one-night gig for Jesus. That prayer continued. We see during the first Mass how Jesus continued to pray. He prayed in John 17, we see, for the apostles. And then he prayed for everyone, including us who would hear the gospel through them, that we might be one in the love of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so that the world might know that God the Father loves us as he loves his Son, and that Jesus, in fact, had come. That prayer continued for temptations. We see Jesus telling Peter during the Last Supper, "I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, but after you have converted, that you may strengthen your brothers and sisters." Jesus continues to pray for us, not just in calling us, but in the fulfillment of that vocation. What a great witness to the fidelity of the Lord's Prayer we see in St. Simon Jude. Second aspect we can ponder is what was happening in them prior to their receiving their call as apostles. The Lord had previously called them to be his students, his zealous followers. we call that disciples. When day came, he called his disciples to himself. And from them, he chose 12. In Rome, when you see the beautiful churches, it's always kind of interesting that they depict St. Paul's Outside the Walls as an easy example on the beautiful, resplendent facade. When they want to depict the 12 apostles, they always depict them as 12 sheep coming toward the Lamb, looking as he has been slain on the mountain of Jerusalem where he would have his throne on Calvary. That they would depict the apostles, the shepherds, as sheep, because before they could ever be a fitting apostle, they would need to be a good disciple. Before they would ever be able to exercise the good shepherd's care of others, they would have to go to that good shepherd as sheep who hear the good shepherd's voice. It all starts with this discipleship, this learning from the master, this following in his footsteps. We know that Jesus, when he was choosing his 12, didn't go after the professors of the day like the scribes. He didn't go after the most religious of the day like the Pharisees. St. Paul would say in his first letter to the Corinthians, he went after the nobodies, the weak and the despised of this world, the nobodies, so that they might humble the rest and so that God's glory might shine all the more radiantly. St. Simon and Jude are really among the least. So in the list of 12, wouldn't you want to be 10 and 11, right, before Judas Iscariot? But there they are. When you go to St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, you know, you've got a 70-ton baldacchino over Peter's tomb. Do you even know where Simon and Jude's tomb is? It's hidden underneath the altar of St. Joseph. If you've been to St. Peter's, on the left transept, the southern transept, where you've got the mosaic of St. Joseph and you've got the tabernacle where they do some of the daily masses. Most people visiting St. Peter's have no idea that Simon and Jude were buried together underneath that altar. In many ways, they are the least, but they're far from the least. God chooses us in our weaknesses sometimes so that his glory might shine through our lowliness. The third aspect that we can learn about how to build our life on their foundations, it's the apostolate. Their message goes out through all the earth. Today we ponder just what the Lord was doing with these rather ordinary men, that he gave them a mission, and they fulfilled it against all odds with the power of the Holy Spirit, crisscrossing the ancient globe to spread the good news of Jesus. It's interesting when you look historically how many churches ascribe their foundation to Simon and Jude. Now, everybody could be trying to just ground their church on real apostolic foundations in the competition in the early church between Antioch and Alexandria and Constantinople and the rest. But I think the more likely explanation is that they just were unstoppable. They were going from one place to another, trying to spread the love that they had first received. We believe in the apostolic dimension of the church. We also believe in our role to spread that gospel. Fourth, we can see, is their martyrdom. I wear red today because both of them gave witness to the Lord ultimately with their blood. They loved Jesus so much that they would follow him all the way and allow his promises to take on their own flesh. He had promised that if it happened to him, it would happen to them, and they were unabashed. He says, I'd like to stress, if they saw what happened on the third day after Jesus was crucified, why should they have a fear of anything? Because no matter what people did, God would have a response and draw good even out of the evil that they might have to endure, even out of the rejection that they might suffer. The greatest form of apostolic witness is by the witness of their choice in life which is why the early church chose the word martyrdom, both for witness as well as for this type of heroic death. And we ask their prayers that we might similarly live out this martyrian, whether we have to shed our blood or not. Lastly, I think on this feast day, we should ponder that our Christian existence is similarly based on their intercession. I love the new translation of the Mass, or at least I would say 98% of it. But there are a few things that just weren't translated quite as well, or I should say it, in the original translation into English, in their looser version, they express some things really beautifully. And in the preface for the Apostles, number 1 of 2, there was this expression that I always love to pray. As we thank God for the gift of the Apostles, we would say, and from their place in heaven, they guide us still. That they're not retired from this mission that the Lord chose, but they continue to exercise that role in the church. Now they do it in a different way. They do it through their intercession. And out of these least, number 11, out of all the apostles, the one who receives the vast majority of the prayers is St. Jude. He is the patron saint of the most hopeless of causes. How did this happen? Well, if you really wanted to do an historical study, you would say that it happened through St. Bernard of Clairvaux, and it happened through St. Bridget of Sweden. They were the ones who had received in their prayer some type of intimation in order to pray to St. Jude, and then they began to use St. Jude as intercessor for the most hopeless of causes. And then because they had great followings, especially St. Bernard, the devotion to St. Jude spread throughout the entire church. But I like to think that there's a divine reason. God can work prayers through any saints, and certain ones have been exalted through their intercession over the course of centuries more than others. And God has chosen St. Jude, 11th on this list, in order to be the one invoked in desperate situations. Today we bring our desperate situations here. We bring our prayer for Daphne and her baby. Bring our prayer for all those others that we normally pray for. We bring perhaps our own vocations, that we might respond to the Lord's calling, become better disciples, better apostles, better martyrs, dry martyrs or wet martyrs. And that we, following upon the example of the prayers of Saint Simon and Jude from heaven, might become even better intercessors for the whole church. Brothers and sisters, you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but fellow citizens with the holy ones, including Simon and Jude, members of God's family, built upon the foundations of the apostles with Christ Jesus as the capstone. As we now enter into the greatest prayer ever made, the prayer at which Simon and Jude were present in the upper room when Jesus for the first time took bread and wine and changed it into himself and said, "Do this in memory of me." We thank the Lord for their feast, and we ask their intercession that one day we might share forever what this earthly feast points to, the eternal banquet where they are at the celebrant's eternal rite. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.